Good morning. My name is Erica, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the China Ceramics Q1 2011 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Coulson, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Erica. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening to those of you joining us from China. I apologize for a little bit of a late start. We had some technical issues. We'd like to welcome all of you to China Ceramics' first quarter 2011 earnings conference call. With us today are China Ceramics' Chairman and CEO, Mr. Jiadong Huang, and the company's Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Edmund Hen. Before I turn the call over to Mr. Huang, I'd like to remind our listeners that during this call, management's prepared remarks contain forward-looking statements, which are subject to risks and uncertainties, and management may make some additional forward-looking statements in response to your questions. Therefore, the company claims the protection of the safe harbor for forward-looking statements contained in the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Actual results may differ from those discussed today, and we refer you to a more detailed discussion of the risks and uncertainties contained in the company's filings with the SEC. In addition, any projections as to the company's future performance represent management's estimates as of today, May 9, 2011. China Ceramics assumes no obligation to update these projections in the future as market conditions change. To supplement its financial results presented in accordance with IFRS, management may make reference to certain non-IFRS financial measures, which the company believes provide meaningful additional information to understand the company's performance. A statement reconciling any of these measures to the nearest IFRS equivalent can be found in the earnings press release issued earlier today. It's now my pleasure to turn this call over to China Ceramics Chairman and CEO, Mr. Huang, and China Ceramics CFO, Mr. Edmund Hen, who will be translating for Mr. Huang. Mr. Huang, you may proceed.
谢谢大会，欢迎大家参加我们2011年第一季度利润报告电话会议。
Thank you, Crocker. Welcome to everyone joining our 2011 first quarter earnings conference call.
我们非常高兴在这里跟大家分享一个杰出的季度报告。
We are very pleased to report another quarter of exceptional results.
第一季度的财务数字亮点有 收入比去年同期增长了34.4%， 达到3亿0790万人民币， 约合4680万美元。 毛利率比去年同期增长了37.5%， 达到9530万人民币， 约合1450万美元。 毛利率为 31%， 相比去年同期的 30.2% 有所增长，净利润比去年同期增长了 19.2%， 达到5400万人民币， 约合820万美元。 不包括非现金以股票为基础的奖励计划费用， 非通用会计准则的净利润为6110万人民币， 约合930万美元， 上涨了34.9%。 前面摊薄的买股收益为 2.96人民币 后45.5美分。
The highlights for the first quarter include revenue up 34.4% to RMB 307.9 million, equivalent to US dollar 46.8 million. Gross profit was RMB 95.3 million, equivalent to US dollar 14.5 million, representing a 37.5% increase from previous year. Gross profit margin was 31% compared to 30.2% in the same period of 2010. Net profit was RMB 54 million or US dollar 8.2 million, up 19.2% from the same period of previous year. Excluding the non-cash share-based compensation expenses, non-GAAP net profit was RMB 61.1 million or US dollar 9.3 million, up 34.9% from the first quarter. Earnings per fully diluted shares were RMB 2.96, equivalent to 45 US cents.
从去年年初开始，我们就一直致力地扩大公司的产能。2010年年初，我们仅有晋江恒达一个工厂，瓷砖的年产能为2800万平方。在2010年1月份，收购了高安的恒达力工厂，并且不断升级两个工厂的设施以后，两个工厂目前的瓷砖年产能为4220万平方米，预计在2011年年底年产能将达到7200万平方米。
Since early last year, we have been committed to expanding our production capacity. At the beginning of 2010, our only facilityWas the Hengda plant, capable of producing 28 million square meters of ceramic tiles per year. With the Hengda Li plant in Gao'an, acquired in January 2010, and the ongoing upgrade of both facilities, overall capacity at the two facilities is currently 42.2 million square meters.Of ceramic tiles. This capacity is expected to reach 72 million square meters by year-end 2011.
进入2011年，公司将继续进行新的产品开发。2011年第二季度，中国陶瓷开始生产釉面黄骨砖。这些砖尺寸较大，光面表面光滑，并且具有大理石般的纹理。我们认为这种新产品兼具功能与价格优势，将是大理石或其他石材的很好的代替品。这些新产品的名称是大唐陶都。
As we move forward into 2011, the company continues to explore further opportunities in product development. In the second quarter of 2011, China Ceramics started to produce a new product series of polished glazed tiles, which are large-sized ceramic tiles with glossy surfaces.And marble-like pattern. We believe that this new product represents both a functional and cost-effective replacement for actual marble or stone materials. The branding for this new product series of polished glazed tiles is Pottery Capital of Tang Dynasty.
另外，第一季度公司还跟恒大地产集团旗下的广州恒大材料设备有限公司签订了合同，将为其提供大多数外墙砖。恒大地产集团是中国最大的房地产开发商之一， 在中国拥有超过两百个房地产项目，仅2011年第一季度房产销售面积就达到300万平方米，合同有效期自2011年1月1日到2011年10月31日，该合同的销售额将从今年第二季度开始体现。
Also, during the quarter, China Ceramics signed a contract with Guangzhou Evergrande Materials and Equipment Company Limited, a subsidiary of Evergrande Real Estate Group, to supply most of its exterior wall ceramics. Evergrande Real Estate Group is one of the largest property developers in China, with over 200 projects across China nowadays. Sales from this contract will be recognized beginning in our second quarter this year.
我们非常高兴有机会跟大家分享这些积极的成果，便为我们的客户和股东创造价值。我很期待在下次季度利润电话会议中积极跟大家进行汇报。
We are very excited with the opportunities which we have for delivering positive results and creating value for our customers and shareholders. And I look forward to reporting on our progress every quarter during the earnings conference call. Now that I have completed translating Mr. Huang's comments, I would like to spend a few minutes discussing China Ceramics business performance. Before I go into financials for the first quarter of 2011, let me start by providing some background about our business and industry. China Ceramics is a manufacturer of ceramic tiles used for exterior siding and interior flooring in residential and commercial buildings. We now have two facilities, one located in Xinjiang, Fujian Province, and the other in Gao'an, Jiangxi Province. Both locations were strategically chosen for their specific site resources. Within the major ceramic tile manufacturing area in China, the company was founded by our CEO, who has spent most of his career in the construction and material distribution business. China Ceramics has benefited from Mr. Huang's extensive experience in and knowledge of the ceramic tile industry. China Ceramics has a very broad product offering with 6 different types of tiles, with over 2,000 different combinations of products. About 90% of our products are sold through our 40 distributors. About 90% of our products are customer made, which enables premium pricing, and we also differentiate ourselves through our strong R&D capabilities. In 2010, China Ceramics was the only exterior ceramic tile company recognized among Asia's top 500 brands. We are confident with the growing demand for our products, which is driven by robust property development market in China. The key underlying trends supporting the growth of our business include, first of all, vastly improved the GDP per capita in China, which has spurred construction as well as a sustained urbanization trend in China. Secondly, the continued growth of Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities in China, which is our primary market. With respect to Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities, in light of a new wave of tightening policies released by municipal government to control raising property prices in Tier 1 cities, real estate developers have taken into Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities where less restrictions are imposed. The influx of land supply recorded in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities in 2010 will be transferred to construction pipeline in the next several years, creating large demand for construction materials, which include ceramic borders. The third key trend underlying our growth is the government's plan to invest in low-income housing. The current target is to build 36 million units of low-income housing over the next 5 years, of which 10 million will be built this year. With this macroeconomic scenario as a backdrop, we see the significant opportunity for China Ceramics to grow its top and bottom line in years ahead. While we expand the capacity of our two production plants to meet customer demand. Now, moving on to a more detailed discussion of our financial results. Revenue for the first quarter of 2011 was RMB 307.9 million, equivalent to US$46.8 million, up 34.4% compared to last year. The increase was primarily driven by 29.5% increase in output from 8.8 million square meters to 11.4 million square meters as a result of upgraded production capacities at both the Hengde and Hengde Li plants. We also raised the selling price for our porcelain tiles by 5% in February 2011, which leads to US$1.6 million of the revenue increase. Gross profit for the first quarter of 2011 was RMB 95.3 million or US$14.5 million, up 37.5% from the last year. Gross margin was 31% compared to 30.2% for the same period last year. Administrative expenses for the first quarter was RMB 15.6 million or US$2.4 million, up 169% from last year. The year-over-year increase was primarily due to the additional expenses of US$1.1 million of non-cash share-based compensation expenses related to an incentive program to retain directors and senior management. Profit before taxes for the first quarter was RMB 76.9 million or US$11.4 million, up 23.8% from the comparable period last year. The year-over-year increase was a result of higher revenue through somewhat offset by higher administrative expenses discussed earlier. Net profit for the first quarter of 2011 was RMB 54 million or US dollar $8.2 million, up 23.8% from the comparable period in 2010, resulting from high revenue but somewhat offset by higher administrative expenses. Earnings per fully diluted share were RMB 2.96 or US dollar 0.45 for the first quarter of 2011, down 33.5% from the same period last year. The year-over-year decrease in earnings per share was due to an increase in shares outstanding year-to-year. Non-GAAP earnings per fully diluted share, which excluded the effect of share-based compensation expenses, was RMB 3.35 or US dollar 0.51, compared with RMB 4.45 or US dollar 0.65 in 2010. Again, this decrease is attributable to the increase in the company's share outstanding from the first quarter of last year. Turning to our balance sheet, we had a cash of RMB 84.9 million or US dollar 13 million as of March 31st, 2011, compared to RMB 263 million or US dollar 39.9 million at the end of last year. Cash was spent on capital expenditure related to the upgrade of both the Hengde and Hengde Li plant. As of March 31st, 2011, we also have an inventory turnover of 83 days compared to 73 days as of December 31st, 2010. Our receivables turnover was 91 days and the payable turnover was 82 days. Bank borrowings were RMB 97 million or US dollar 14.8 million, up just modestly from US dollar 14.7 million as of year end. Capital expenditures for the first quarter were approximately RMB 164.2 million, equivalent to US dollar 25 million. The company invested RMB 35.1 million or US dollar 5.4 million to replace and improve older manufacturing equipment at the Hengde facility. Further improvements in 2011 are expected to result in total production capacity at the facility of 42 million square meters per year. Total expenditures in 2011 for Hengde are estimated to be RMB 175 million or US dollar 27 million. For Hengde Li, capital expenditure were approximately RMB 129.1 million or US dollar 19.6 million in the first quarter. Additional expansion is expected to result in total production capacity at the facility of 30 million square meters per year. Total expenditure for Hengde Li in 2011 estimated to be around 30 million US dollars. The completion of Phase 3 at Hengde Li will be postponed to the end of 2012. CapEx for Phase 3 is expected to be approximately US dollar 35 million, and it is expected to provide an additional 40 million square meters of capacity in 2013. The company believes that its cash flow from operations combined with its cash balances and borrowing capacity will be sufficient to meet the remaining capital expenditure requirements of the production associated with the Hengdeli facility. Turning to our outlook, the company's backlog of order for delivery in the second quarter of 2011 is approximately US$56.9 million, representing a year-over-year growth rate of 36.9% compared to the first quarter of 2010. The expected sales volume in second quarter of 2011 is approximately 13.8 million square meters, representing a 30.2% increase from the same period last year. Overall, we are very excited about our future prospects and we look forward to reporting positive results in quarters ahead. We are committed to providing investors with accurate and timely information to allow them to make fair assessment of value of their investment in China Ceramics common stock. We will continue to work with our board and our legal and investor relations advisors to ensure we can consistently maintain an adequate level of disclosure. As a final note, Mr. Huang and I will be presenting at the Oppenheimer Dragon Conference to be held in New York on May 17th. Please refer to our website for this as well as our all other presentation events. With that, we would like to open up the call to your questions. Operator.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone in order to ask a question, simply press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star one. Your first audio question comes from the line of John Harrell with Harrell & Associates.
Good morning and congratulations on a great quarter in beating not only revenue estimates but earnings per share estimates by 10%, 51 versus 47. I've got a question. You're going to be taking part in the Oppenheimer conference next week, and we have seen many, many Chinese stocks that have had big investment house coverage, much, much higher valuation than being covered just solely by somebody like Roth Capital or Rodman & Renshaw. What are you guys doing to try to land some of these big investment houses to get behind the company so we can start seeing the valuation that this company deserves?
Hello. You mean your question is you are questioning the valuation of the company, and I think we are in the process to looking for more research coverage, and we believe currently our valuation is highly underestimated. And we are going through this kind of conference and some of the non-deal roadshow to further explain to the investor that the situation of our company, and also we will go through more communication with the investor to let them know that the valuation of our company is very attractive at this point.
Okay, thank you very much, and congratulations again on an awesome quarter.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Amy Pisani with SVP.
Hi, how are you? I had three key questions. I think my first question was, obviously, like for a variety of reasons, operating cash flow was negative in Q1. wanted to get your thoughts on what the operating cash flow would be for the next three quarters or for the rest of the year. The second question was if the company, I know there's been some talk about possible stock buybacks, and if the company has discussed that at all at the board meeting. And third, I think, which links back to the previous question, that obviously the valuation of the company is extremely cheap. And now part of the reason is, I'm sure you followed, that a lot of the Chinese small caps have come under their accounting has been questioned. A number of them have been put on trading halts, and if the company is doing anything to make sure that people are very comfortable with the accounts.
Right, for your question, first question, you notice that our cash flow for the operating activity is negative. And the main reason is that we have changed it, the system, the payment method for our commission. And for the commission paid in the first quarter is a little bit higher than the comparable period in last quarter. And this is a major reason for the negative, for the net cash generated from the operating activities. But for your second question, we believe that we will have positive cash generated from our operating activities in the coming quarters. And we also believe that we have the ability to finance our capital expenditure, as we announced it. And I'm sorry, your third question is the valuation.
Yeah, my second and third question were that the Chinese stock space in the U.S. has been hit because of a number of stocks that have been suspended. If the company was doing anything to A, give people more confidence around the accounts, or B, do some sort of stock buyback to increase confidence.
And first of all, we already have a very good auditor, Grant Thornton, for our auditor. And secondly, we will try to attend most of the conference, which we can, to further explain to the investor that our company is very established and well managed company. And for example, we are coming to New York next week for the Oppenheimer conference. And also for the share buyback, I think if you notice from the filing of our company, some of the directors has already bypassed some of the shares recently. And for the company buyback, this has to go through the board of director, and I will pass your suggestion to our board of director for their decision.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Yang Patel with HNC Capital.
Yep.
Gentlemen, I have a few questions. First one's relating to this China Evergrande situation. Can you please describe a little bit more of the context? Did you sell direct or through distributors? And is there some type of minimum volume they've committed to? And also, how many different suppliers do they utilize for their exterior tiles? Those are my first series of questions with China Evergrande.
Your question is for the China Evergrande, right?
Yes, correct.
We have signed an exclusive contract with them beginning of this year, and we are one of the major suppliers for the exterior wall ceramic tiles for their project in this year. And that means they can only use our exterior wall tiles on their buildings, and they buy the sovereign tile directly from us. And for our other distributors, and we have already discussed all this situation with our distributors, and before we sign the contract, we have to agree with our existing distributor to telling them that Evergrande will be our direct selling, will enter a direct selling contract with us, and so that everybody is satisfied before we can enter the contract with the Evergrande.
Okay, and is and will the margin profile be similar to your, you know, could you describe what the margin profile of that transaction will be relative to your current?
The direct selling will be a little bit higher because this is direct sales. We go through the distributors and we can gain a little bit more margin direct sales to the Evergrande.
Okay, got it. Next question is relating to the public, the low-income housing. Is that done? Is that in China? Is that primarily done via private companies or through the municipal governments? And if it's done through the municipal governments, what kind of tender and so forth process will there be for the exterior tiles for those?
And the plan is actually organized by the government, but the government will ask the developer to build the low-income housing, and so will go through a normal bidding. In terms of the situation and condition.
Okay, got it. And then final question is I think you've been slightly over budget on your CapEx spending. If you could comment on that. And then the final thing is what's the low point of your cash? You know, you're at $13 million now. What do you expect the low point will be sort of over the next few quarters?
We have spent a little bit more for the CapEx, because at the same time, we have increased the capacity from our existing facilities. For example, in the original, we have about 36 million in our hanger plants, but now we have spent a little bit more. We have more capacity, goes up to 42 million. And also for the phase two facility in Handley, originally we have about 24 million, but completing the phase two facility, we will have 30 million square meters. And also, because we also consider the cash flow situation, we also have postponed a little bit for the phase three capacity. However, by completing the phase two and the improvement from our current facility, we already have about the same level of the capacity production original planned. And I'm sorry, can you repeat your final question?
Yeah, what will your low points of your cash balance, what do you expect it will be over the next few quarters? It's currently $13 million right now, so what do you think it will, you know, dip down to?
That will still be positive. And based on our backlog for the second quarter and the visibility for the next second half year, we recorded a still very strong backlog from our distributors and customers, and we believe our cash flow situation is still positive, and also we have the ability to finance all this CapEx by ourselves.
But I mean, still positive. That could mean it could be a dollar of cash. I mean, do you think it's going to dip to, you know, below $5 million, or, you know, what do you think it will dip to?
You mean the cash position?
The cash position, exactly. You know, obviously, you know, liquidity is a big problem. Liquidity management, just to make sure that you have ample liquidity. Just want to understand from your budgeting perspective what you expect the low point will be.
At this moment, we believe we have a very positive cash position for the next few quarters, but because we do not disclose the cash flow forecast, so but at this point, but you will see from the coming quarters, and we have our internal forecast that we have a very healthy and stable cash flow position for the next few quarters and up to the year end of this year.
Okay, and is there anything in your, it doesn't seem like you have any a lending facilities. Do you have any covenants or anything like that that you need to be mindful of, that we should just be aware of in terms of key covenants?
Can we repeat your question? The lending facility, you mean?
Yeah, and you said that you might access the, in terms of, you made a statement in your presentation that if we, we're going to fund the CapEx from cash flow from operations plus potentially debt. And I just want to know, in terms of that debt, are there any key covenants? So sometimes they require to keep a minimum cash balance. There might be, other types of covenants that are in place. Are there any key covenants?
We have already discussed with our bank, and in case if there are any necessary, we still can borrow some money from the bank. Yeah.
Okay.
To
right,
make sure
you.
Our cash position is positive.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Fernando Moraes with Savant Holdings.
Hi, good morning, or good evening over there. I have a quick question. The gross margins difference between your two facilities is obviously quite wide, partly because one facility is brand new while the other one has a long operating history. All these upgrades that you're doing at Hengda, do you expect that will have an impact on the gross margins? Would it bring it closer to the Hengda Li, or would you explain the gross margin difference due to the product mix?
First of all, and because nowadays we are doing the improvement and the new facility construction, and we estimate that the depreciation will be a little bit higher than before. However, due to the economy of scale and the new technology production, the actual margin is a little bit higher than before, and it is more efficient. And can you repeat your second question?
Oh, it was basically the comparison between the two facilities. Right now,
yeah.
Hengda Li has a 6% spread difference, 6-7% higher than Hengda. Is that because of the newer equipment, or is that because of only because of product mix? Because it has it, so it makes it porcelain tile.
Both of them. First of all, Hengda Li has a newer equipment. And also, we are producing some new products with higher margins in Hengda Li. For example, the newly released polished glazed series is producing from our Hengda Li tile, and which has a little bit higher margin.
I see. There was something in the press release about prices being raised by 5% in February.
Yep.
Do you believe that will completely cover the raw material expense increase that the whole world really has been experiencing? Or do you believe you'll be able to pass that on to your clients? Or do you expect some kind of tightening in the margins because of that?
Majorly because the... raw material cost has been increased for a little bit, and in order to pass this cost to the customer, which we have the ability to be, and we increase the 5% for our on average for our porcelain tiles.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Howard Siegelbaum with HNC Capital.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just to follow up, my colleague asked some questions earlier. You mentioned your auditor, Grant Thornton, and
yep.
We're just wondering, as far as their onshore Chinese entities, who audits the onshore entities? Is it Grant Thornton, or is it a local auditor? If so, who is the local auditor? What's the relationship with Grant Thornton? And, for instance, for FAIT purposes and your tax filings with China,
yeah.
With People's Republic, who is the auditor for that? And if it's not Graham Thornton, then why not? And will it be next year?
And for the field work from China, the audit work was done by the Graham Thornton China staff. And they have been reviewed by about six partners, both in China and U.S. And nowadays, Graham Thornton is an international group. And I think they have maintained a very high quality of the of their audit work done. And this is reason why you can see from our annual report, and the report was signed by the Graham Thornton PLC. And for the SAIC report, and we are still the SAIC report for the 2010 is still under progress, because we have to obtain the annual report and then report back to the SAIC in China. And for the audit, for the SAIC report, as far as we're concerned, because we have to report to the local SAIC, they have indicated only the local auditor can be used, and this is reason why we have engaged another auditor for the SAIC report. But the report will be almost the same as the will be the same figures as audited by the Graham Thornton report.
Doesn't Grant Thornton have onshore quote unquote local people? I mean, don't they have basically a local affiliate? Why would you not use their Grant Thornton's local affiliate for the SAIC filing auditor?
And they have their office in Shanghai and Beijing, and because the local SAIC only recognize some of the regional auditors, and we are also checking if we can also ask Graham Thornton to issue this kind of reports to the local SAIC. But in this year, probably we will have a different group of the auditors for different reports. But the figures are all the same, yeah. Reported by Graham Thornton or from the local auditor.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Keith Dalrymple with Dalrymple Finance.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I have two quick questions for you. In one, I'd like to return to the question of gross margins, if we could. You had mentioned that there were some increases in the raw materials. Can you talk about the major component raw materials and the price trends in those?
And the major raw material is the clay coal coloring material and the glazed material. And this raw material has been increasing the price from 10% to 20% from the past 3 years. For example, coal, the price has been increased and fluctuated within the 20% range, and also the clay price has been increased for somewhere in the 10% range. Yeah, and this is the for the past 3 years, and this is the trend for our raw material cost.
Okay, and do you anticipate that they continue to go up similarly?
It is very difficult to estimate the energy cost. For example, the oil cost and the fuel cost have been fluctuated quite a bit. Sometimes it goes up and sometimes it goes down.
But no matter how the raw material cost has been increased, we have the ability to pass the cost inflation to our customer, because more than 90% of our products are made to order.
I see. Okay. Excellent. And my second and last question is, do you have an effective prospectus outstanding? I know that you did some kind of deal in I think it was November, but I saw recently two prospectuses that seem to be out.
You mean the offering?
Correct. There was an offering in November, and there's been a recent prospectus filed as well.
No. We have done an offering in November last year, but for the recent filing, that is a S3 filing, because previously we filed an F1. We have to update the F1 every 6 months if we do not file the F3. So nowadays we have filed the F3 and it automatically update the previous F1 if there is any new financial updates, and it just gives us a more convenient filing system, which is not an offering.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Panhu Zhu with Roth Capital.
Hi, Edmund and Huang Zong. First, congratulations on your another good quarter. So I have two questions. The first question is regarding your capacity expansion plan. So we noticed that your new plan in the press release changed a lot. Say for Hyundai site by this year end, the planned total capacity will be increased from 37 million square meters to 42 million square meters. However, for the Hyundai facility, the planned total capacity by the year end decreased from 42 to 30 million square meters. So can you tell us what are the reasons behind this? Is this because of that, because you don't have enough cash, or you see the demand in the future will be low, or what are the reasons?
No. And the first reason is that for Hyundai, we have increased it to 36 million to 42 million. And major because and a lot of our customer wants a more high quality porcelain tiles to be produced in Xinjiang area. And we found that we still have the room to further improve our Hyundai facility. And this is the reason why we have spent a little bit more money to further catch up the capacity demand from our customer. And secondly, for Hyundai, we found the new product is a very attractive to our customer, especially the large-sized polished glazed tiles, which can actually replace the marble or stone material. And however, to produce this type of the ceramic tiles, it needs the latest technology, which is a little bit more expensive. And we have increased our budget to produce this type of the new products to further meet the demand from our customer. And and this is reason why we have changed our strategy to produce some more higher technology and higher quality products to our customer, and this is the reason why we have also increased our budget to delay a little bit for phase two to make sure our product is up to standard, which can produce the highest quality of product to our customer.
Okay, it's very helpful. So my second question is regarding your cost of raw materials. So you mentioned that the cost of raw materials is increasing. So you have thought up a little bit about the raw materials. So I want to know that how much do you see in the coming year that the cost of raw materials will increase? And can you give us more color about the specific raw materials, killings and cores, something like that?
For the clay, as I mentioned, for the past 3 years, they have increased it up to about 10% range. It is about around 2 to 3% a year. For the past 2-3 years. And for the coal, since 2008, the coal has been fluctuated a bit, sometimes up to 20%, and sometimes it goes down another 10%. But on average, it has been goes up for about 15%, and that means it takes about 4 to 5% a year for the coal. And in the coming years, and we believe on average it will still have about 2 to 3% of the increment for the overall raw materials. And this is reason why we have increased about 5% of our porcelain tiles in February.
Okay, so a follow-up question. So I want to know that what is the interest rate of your bank borrowings now?
The interest rate is about 7 to 8% per year.
7 to 8% per year. So from my understanding, that the cost of debt is higher than the potential inflation of the clay and coals. So can you provide us with more colors about why you would spend more money to store up the raw materials?
Spend more money to.
So you mentioned in the press release that you stored up, you purchased a lot of raw materials to hedge the inflation risk in the future. So from my point of understanding that. It is better to have the money as cash because the interest rate is higher. The interest rate is 7 to 8% per year, but inflation is only 2 to 3% for the clay.
You are correct, but the thing is, due to we have a very strong demand from our backlog, we also need to purchase more raw material. As a storage to prepare for the strong demand from our customer.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's all my questions. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Your next audio question comes from the line of Albert Jones with Jones Capital Management.
Yep.
Yes, your current bank borrowings are about $14.7 million. Currently,
yep.
Can you give me an approximate idea of at the end of the year if those will be slightly less or similar to what it is now or more than that current $14.7
million? Depends on the situation, but we have discussed it with our bank and we can obtain about another $10 million of the bank line if there is any necessary. But at this moment, we do not find that we have the financial pressure to borrow the money from the bank at this point. But you know, depends on the situation for the from for the next three quarters.
The second quarter is, I believe, your strongest quarter. Can we expect the strongest cash flow from the second quarter for the year?
We do believe the cash flow will be positive and from our strong demand from the customer.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
There are no audio questions.
Well, with that, we'd like to thank all of you for your participation on the call and the great questions that you had for the management team. Again, the company will be coming to the States to attend the Up in Armor conference, and in connection with that, we'll be visiting individually with some of their investors. So if you have an interest in having a one-on-one meeting with management, please contact us at CCG Investor Relations, and we'll be more than happy to set that up for you. Operator, this now concludes our call.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.